Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a fulfilling Thanksgiving. And you're feeling somewhat better today, I hope. Breakfast did not seem enjoyable today. In fact, I walked away from breakfast. I said, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. Don't need any food. I'll wait till after the show. I think I'll make it till 2 o'clock. We'll see. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe has the day off. He's had the week off. And Elijah Campbell pulling double duty. If there's anybody that could work off their Thanksgiving feast, it's Elijah today. Grinding away at the board. Back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie, how was your Thanksgiving?
Excellent. It was different.
Yep.
Not nearly as many people. We usually have, you know, it's a, people that know us, we have a lot of people over, a lot of family, a lot of neighbors through the years. And usually our tables extend well past the dining room and around the corner into the hallway and stuff like that. Nothing like that yesterday, for sure. Just the four of us.
Yeah. We, you're right. It's just different, but everybody knew it was going to be different. So.
Yeah, but it was great. Yeah. We took advantage. We did different things, and we had, you know, we had some memories. It was great.
Good. Very good. All right. Elijah, how was yours? You and the ghost?
Me and the ghost. Me and, the, and honestly, I got to spend it just at home. It was just me and my my two siblings and my roommate. We didn't get to travel this year, so we were in charge of obviously making food, and I didn't burn anything. Burn the house down.
Excellent.
Food tasted all right. And I got to take my post-meal nap through the awful Washington-Dallas football game. I didn't have to watch any of it.
Yesterday was not our best viewing pleasure, I would say, over
not
the
for
years.
NFL football. There was some college basketball games on that were pretty good. Auburn and St. Joe's was a good game.
Yeah.
They went to overtime. That took my attention away from the Cowboys game, thankfully.
That one was a thriller. That one was a lot of fun.
A lot better than the football game.
Yeah, either one. Yeah, you don't have to specify either one. That was better than either one. Kansas-Gonzaga was better than either one. That ended up being a 12-point game, but that one was fun. It was high scoring. Almost had 200 total points.
Here's, and I'm going to just jump right into it, right out of the gates. You know, I know they got upset with the whole thing that happened with the Titans, but like, I'm just pretty sick of seeing the Steelers complain and bellyache about, you know, their season being messed up with the schedule. And all the teams they keep playing keeps getting COVID. You know what? Deal with it. Nobody wants to hear you bellyaching about it. I mean, my goodness. Could they just enough with it already? I mean, what did you think this season? Okay, boo freaking who? Every time. Yeah, you've played teams that keep getting it. By the way, I think that game's in real danger, right? Are they really going to go RG3? Are they going to make the Ravens go RG3? That's not going to be a game. Lamar Jackson, if you haven't seen, has tested positive. The positive tests keep rolling in for the Ravens. It started right after their loss to the Titans. Their facility was closed on Monday. Their facility was closed on Tuesday. And by Wednesday's show, we're sitting here talking about, uh-oh, no triple header on Thanksgiving. Ravens-Steelers has been moved to Sunday afternoon. And as we sit here today on this Friday, uh-oh, I don't know if there's going to be a game. What do you think?
Well, I've been reading the different reports, you know, the different reporters out there. One guy that I've watched a lot, and it started, I don't know if I know much about him. I know we had him on our show before the season started, but the guy for the Washington Post, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, if it's Mask or Maskey, but he put the forfeit as on the table, but it looks like, you know, playing Monday, playing Tuesday, shuffling games around, all of it is on the table right now. I'd be surprised. What seems to be circulating right now is the problem with the forfeit is it costs both teams a paycheck. So there's no, and there's also performance bonuses. There's all kinds of stuff that would incentivize players to not get a forfeit. Even though if you're sitting there and you're a Steelers fan, you might say, yeah, we'll take the forfeit. You know, we'll go 11-0. We're ready to play, and they're not. There's a lot of financial reasons that you would want to play. But the question is, how much are they wanting to juggle the schedule? Because the Ravens cannot get into their facility until Monday at the earliest. So they could show up and play the game on Sunday, maybe. But if that doesn't really make sense, you know. So there's a lot of people saying, well, how can you can't play this game. You cannot play this game in the situation the Ravens are in.
But how are you going to make it up?
Well, we've been talking about it all year. You have to juggle.
The Steelers have already, because of the juggling they had to do with the Titans situation, they've already given up their bye week. There is no more bye weeks for them. I mean, this is what their schedule is. They're kind of like in Pac-12, Big Ten territory. Like, we don't have anywhere to go. We've boxed ourselves in now. Like, unless we're talking about extending the season, and that hasn't been brought up. Remember, yeah. If anything, the NFL has brought up, okay, just in case we can't get all 16 games in, this is what we'll do. They've been bracing for this, kind of. I'm just kind of over the belly aching with the Steelers. Like, it's enough. Like, okay, you know, boo-hoo. We wanted to play Thursday. Well, okay, we understand. We wanted you to play Thursday. Hello? Did you watch what we had yesterday? By the way, where was the Egg Bowl? I thought we were supposed to get Ole Miss and Mississippi State on Thursday night on Thanksgiving. Where was that? We had nothing last night. Nothing.
I have a question. Do you think the Steelers are the first group of individuals, not just like athletes or anything, on the planet that's upset that they weren't working on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you're right. That has got to be a first.
I think they made history. I mean,
made history. That's a good
point.
If
I was supposed to work on Thanksgiving and you're like, no, sorry, Elijah, we have a little outbreak at the station. You can't come in. I, the last thing I'm doing
is
going to get
on social media going, this is BS, man.
I wanted to go in on Thursday on
Thanksgiving. How dare Cromwell Media make me work, not work on Thanksgiving? I was ready to work.
I have to interact with my family now. That's kind of what that felt like to a degree. You'd think they'd been a little more excited to not have to work on a holiday.
Yeah, that's a fair point. They've gone just the opposite way. They've done what everybody in America is seeking, the day off. They want to work.
Okay, so let's get back to the dilemma, because it is a big dilemma. So what do you think? If you're the commissioner, would you think about a forfeit, or would you just say the game is not being played? Or
you're gonna
start moving things. Well, I guess you have to push the next game back. It looks like, though.
They didn't do that for the Titans, did they?
When is the next scheduled Ravens game? I think they play the Cowboys. Is that right?
Well, let's look, Willie.
Push that back a day.
I don't have. The Ravens get, well, we've looked at it. After the Steelers game, we know it definitely gets lighter. We talked about that on Wednesday's show. So after the Steelers game, yes, it is the Cowboys on is that a Sunday? I don't have the.
It's a Thursday.
I was going to say, that does not look like
a
Sunday
date.
That's
what I thought I was reading is if you're going to try to play Monday or Tuesday, then you would have to move
that
game.
Of course, that goes without saying. Yeah, that's the schedule Thursday.
But I guess in theory, if you played Tuesday, which is there was a precedent, the Titans-Bills was Tuesday, and you push the following Ravens game back to at least Sunday, then in theory, you could get past it there without juggling other games. Maybe the only way.
I don't know how they're going to handle this.
I don't see how you could complain if you're the Steelers, because regardless, you're in a great position. You're going to get to play the Ravens without the league MVP from last year and several other players that won't be eligible. They won't have been in their practice facility at all until Monday at the earliest. So, nothing to complain about. And you're going to get the paycheck.
They've been complaining all week. like they did with the Titans. Remember when they were doing it? You're messing up my kid's birthday, Eric Ebron. My kid's birthday is on my bye week. What? Now we got to change bye weeks. Now you've messed that up. And they were all complaining about the Titans, blaming the Titans. I mean, they've been complaining all week. I mean, good. I mean, I look at the scene. What did you guys think? This was going to be smooth sailing? There wasn't going to be adjustments? Look around the league. I get it. You guys are undefeated.
Well, don't we have to think if you're the league, you have to feel pretty fortunate that you've gotten past Thanksgiving, and this is only the second time for real that you've had
right.
serious
overall. It's
team,
been pretty yes,
team
tame.
Infiltration.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, I would say overall, big picture, it's still been pretty darn, you know, as planned for the most part. I mean, this has not been. I mean, college football has and college basketball is going to face this as well. It's going to be a very college football has been a bumpy, bumpy, bumpy ride. Like you can't, it's made our contest difficult because you just don't know. Even after we make our picks for silly underdogs, you don't know. You're not sure until you get to that day if it's going to happen. What was it? USC last night got canceled. Their game got canceled last night. We could have easily picked their game on Wednesday. I mean, it's been bumpy. It's going to be bumpy for college basketball. So to your point, overall, I would say the NFL has been. I don't know if smooth is the right word. It's been manageable. How about that? Smooth is not the right word.
Well,
manageable.
They've been managed able to, it better than the college
yeah.
game. Of course, there's more teams in college, so there's bound to be more games. We know that a lot of college basketball games that were supposed to get the season started have been moved or you know aren't going to be played. A lot of them were played. The next step for college basketball, you know, Vanderbilt, for example, plays tonight. Will be, as they play games, will the same thing happen that has happened in football for the most part? The one thing that has been the most, pleasant surprise in my mind is that you don't come off the field and then Monday you say, man, we got five cases and it seems like we got them from the other team. Like, there just hasn't been a lot of that, if any.
Right?
Otherwise, we never would have made it to this
yep.
far. And that's going to be the key for basketball because the cases are going to happen like they are in football and there's less players for basketball. But the only thing that's different is with the game being played inside, will it be different? And, you know, you bump up against each other, you know, you swap sweat, all of that stuff, just like you do in football. But it didn't happen in football, right? We would have assumed it was going to happen in football. It really hasn't. Like, for example, the Titans – I guess they didn't. I don't know if they put an injury report out yesterday, but from what we know right now, there hasn't been any spread from the
well,
Ravens
they would have to
the Titans.
That.
They would have
to put that out there.
Yeah,
there's
right.
Been nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So that's just one of the things about this virus that it continues to baffle us every day.
By the way, the forfeit is not going to happen because can you imagine? Then do the players get paid? So that whole battle with the players union,
yeah, they're
the
not
league,
gonna,
like,
they're not
good luck
do that.
With that.
There's
I
no
mean,
way.
No way. There's not. It's not forfeit. Is not happening. Come on, that is not going
to
happen.
Well, think about a player too. Let's just take the Steelers, right? If while they're complaining, what if you have a player that gets a $100,000 bonus for
right
playing 16 exactly. games or hitting 500 yards or
yep.
1,000 yards. Those are all things. Why would you jeopardize that? Well, you would not want to forfeit
mm-mm.
to cost you money like that.
No
plus
doubt.
Your game check.
We will come back. We had a good time with Dan Dockich before the last matchup between the Colts, so we'll do it again. Titans Colts Part 2, Dan Dockich Part 2 on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day and you enjoyed yesterday. This is show, of course, every day. It's brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Bourbon. Smoother than smooth. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe is off today. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and a man that we talked to right before the last matchup, 18 days ago, between the Titans and the Colts. Said he was headed to Nashville and he was going to get into Nissan Stadium and he was going to see the Colts beat down the Titans 34-17. Actually, he didn't say that part, But he did say he was going to go to the game. And we bring in Dan Dockage from 107.5. Thing up in Indianapolis. Stan, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Love Nashville. I needed a vacation from being in Nashville. We ended up in Tootsie's for an eight-hour stretch. We ended up in Kid Rock's place, went to the game. My daughter lives there. What a great freaking town that is. I told my wife, let's go. Let's pack up and move. That place is too good. Too good.
So you did make it to the game because that we have heard of the Broadway flu, and it prevents people from showing up to games, or at least they show up and not feeling themselves, if you know what I mean.
We went straight, drove in, picked up my daughter at her apartment, and went straight to the game. Yeah, man, we sat second row from the top. Because we got that kind of pull when we go into different towns. And, you know, it was a good win for the Colts. Maybe the best Colts win since they beat Kansas City in Kansas City a year ago. So that was a good night for the Colts.
So you asked us how was the best way to get in, and we told you what it's been like, but we haven't seen it this year. So did you end up getting tickets off the street, or did you get them in advance online?
No, actually we were driving, and we were going to be a little late. So my wife in the passenger seat went on Ticketmaster. You know what? $68 a ticket, worst seats. Not the worst seats, but not great. But I'll tell you this, man. Shout out to the lady that makes an unbelievable margarita. She kept it open 2 minutes extra so that she could get us one more for the ditch. And my wife loved the margaritas. You know what I mean? So they were closing up third quarter, and she's like, "I got you." So I think the bill for my beer and my wife's margarita was like $23. I think I gave her a $23 tip on top of that because, damn, she kept it open for us, baby.
Good
yes,
for her. Good for her. Those are the stories we're looking for, Dan, in Nashville.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you just said it. So then the Colts followed it up with a really nice win in overtime over the Packers, where they were trailing by two touchdowns at the half. What's really changed? It looks like the Indianapolis at this stretch of the season, as we're about to wrap up another month and heading into the final month of the regular season, look like they're going in the right direction. So what's changed in your mind, or has anything changed?
You know, quarterback play has changed. Phillip Rivers has been much, much better. I mean, much better. And when Phillip Rivers plays well, Colts are okay. You know, they tried to screw it up with a bunch of holding calls. I don't know if you saw the game.
Yes,
it was like
yes, we did.
Holding. It was a damnedest thing.
What, they have eight on the game or something?
Yeah, they went. And you know what? We were at the game, and they weren't showing the replays, so I figured the fix was in, something like that, you know. But, no, it's the defense has played well, really well, and Phillip Rivers has played much better. And because he's played better, a couple guys have emerged. Nyheim Hines, who's been pretty good all year in the absence of Marlon Mack, and then Michael Pittman, who is a rookie wide receiver out of USC, second-round pick. He was slated to start, got hurt, came back, and he, you know, I think he got down to the 2-yard line maybe on a reverse against the Titans. He's played very, very well, and I think it's because Rivers is, you know, kind of trusting him, kind of being a veteran, throwing him open. But that's really been the biggest thing. Phillip Rivers has played much better.
You understand the mindset, coach, player. You get that mentality. What is the mentality like whenever you know you have, what's the right way to put it? Not an advantage. I guess an advantage in the win column. You keep beating, you know, a team, a rivalry game. You have had the upper hand for a good while. What does that do to a room? Is that overrated, or is there something to that? I mean, the Colts, let's just be honest. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. Everybody knows that the Colts have absolutely owned the Titans since they've been in Nashville. There's no getting around that. What is that like, that mentality, when you know you've had the upper hand on another team?
You know, it's funny. I'll give you an example. When I was at Indiana with Coach Knight for 16 years, so we played Wisconsin twice a year, so that's 32 times. We were 31-1
wow,
against them during that time. But you know what you do as a team? You don't necessarily know that until you're done. You know how hard the games have been. And that's the thing with it. Like, I just use Wisconsin. Every time we went up there, it was hard. It was like, oh, man. And then you end up winning. And, you know, as a player, you kind of remember the struggle. You don't necessarily remember the end result. And that's literally the way it is. Look, there isn't probably one guy on the Colts team right now that could tell you what the record Colts versus Titans is in the last 5 years, because, frankly, they don't care. you know, guys care about their season, guys care about this game, guys care about their careers, and they should. So, you know, that there's two things with that. Number one is what I just said, and number two, there are certain teams, for whatever the reason, that you play well against. You know, like we've always said in the last few years, the Colts play pretty well against teams whose quarterback plays kind of in a phone booth. Now, Mariota would run around sometimes, and that would always hurt the Colts. But if you're not really that elusive quarterback, Colts have played pretty well. Tannehill can run, obviously, but he's not, you know, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson came in here in the second half and just beat the hell out of the Colts. So, you know, it's a little bit stylistically, I think, but I'm telling you, I guarantee you there isn't a guy lining up that can tell you the record Colts versus. Now, the general manager probably can, the owner probably can, but none of those players know.
Media can. We tell them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We talk about it.
By the way, I wanted to – last time we talked to you, you said you were excited to get on a plane and you were going to South Dakota. ESPN and asked you, are you in South Dakota or did that happen?
Man,
what's going on?
I am in beautiful South Dakota, Sioux Falls. We called games on Wednesday and then yesterday, and then I've got two more tonight. I got championship game here, West Virginia against Western Kentucky. And, no, I tell you what, the plane, Delta, was great. It was easy. They asked me, hey, man, you good with coming out here? We need you to go out. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Let's go. So, no, I'm all good. I wear my mask. I don't go around anybody. You know, the governor of South Dakota, she's a little crazy. Hot as hell, but a little crazy. And
she is.
And she's kind of kept these things open. So people here are like, yeah, man, we're open for business. But I will say this, ESPN's done a great job, really good job. Of setting up protocols, and the people that run this tournament have as well. It's really been fantastic.
That was a nice win for Rick Stansberry in Western Kentucky over Memphis yesterday.
It was a tremendous win. It was Memphis looked pretty good, but I'll tell you this, and you know, people in Memphis hate me because I haven't jumped on the Penny Hardaway for God bandwagon, but he got out-coached, man. Stansberry figured out a matchup with this big kid Williams that they have against one of their guards on the block, and it changed the whole game. And you know what? Stansberry's got a good team. They got a I know Bowling Green's only, you know, an hour away or whatever it is. That's a team we're driving up and watching because this Bassey kid has a chance to be a lottery pick. He was great yesterday. He really was. It's a good team.
There's a lot of hype around him. I will say this. Now that, I endorse DraftKings and it's legal here in Tennessee – may or may not have been doing looking at an odds boost Wednesday night with Indiana and Tennessee Tech, the over, and I may have dabbled in that game, so I may have been watching that game. I can probably confirm that I did. That Trace Jackson Davis kid, real deal for Indiana, man. He's impressive to watch.
Let me explain to you. I don't go with the maze. We endorse DraftKings on our show, and I knew that Indiana was playing against a team that didn't have a coach because Pelfrey was out. Four players. I told my listeners and I myself said, it's a house game. We call it a house game. Bet the damn house on Indiana. It was minus 21 at one point. We're like, dudes, we're going to Sizzler, baby. We ain't messing around. It's not a garage game. Sometimes we have a garage game. But that was a house game. Indiana was going to win that by 80. Because not only Indiana is good, and Trace Jackson Davis is going to be a first-team All-American. His dad, Dale Davis, was a heck of an NBA player here for the Indiana.
Oh, that's his dad. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's his dad. So Trace has some pretty good bloodlines. He's a great kid. He works his brains off, and he's going to be a first-round pick, and he's going to be an All-American.
Talking to Dan Dockich, and we're talking a little bit of everything here. Dan is in South Dakota. This might be the first interview we've ever done with somebody in the state of South Dakota. So, Dan, you got that going for you, for whatever that's worth.
Perfect.
It's interesting. There's a ton of games on these last couple of days.
You can tell Dan was thrilled by having that mantle, you know, that on the mantle.
Yeah, of all the things
first
he's got.
First guest from South Dakota.
Let me tell you something. If it's positive, if it's not like, you're the most blankety-blank person in the history of West Virginia. I hate you. You're not a Hoosier because you criticized Sean or Archie Miller. Hey, look, anything positive with me, I am 1,000% all in on, man. You want a good time, follow my mentions today during the West Virginia game. Holy cow. I was a coach there for about 10 minutes, and they still remember me not so fondly.
Well, Dan, it's been interesting to, you know, pop around all these channels and see all these venues that the games are going on in. So what's the vibe like when you're in there? It looks like a really cool place. The actual gym at South Dakota. It looks like a great setting. But, of course, there's no fans or whatever. But tell me what it's like. How does it affect the game when there's no fans in there?
You know, I haven't felt like it has. I mean, I think guys that want a ball or can ball, man. I look, it's weird. You walk in and usually we do, during the Big Ten season, Jason Benetti and myself will do a Tuesday night Big Ten game. And when we come in, a lot of times there's, you know, T-shirts on the seats of the student section, so they'll have some kind of T-shirt giveaway. I walked into the arena for the first time yesterday, and there were I thought was T-shirts on the seats. But what they were seat coverings saying you can't sit there, because they had prepared for about 800 people, and then they had to shut that down. It is odd in a sense. It was odd the first time, and I talked to a couple of coaches, and they're like, yeah, you know, it is kind of odd, but once the game gets going, hell, you don't even notice. Because, look, it's not a home court, so you're not, you know, you wouldn't have your band, you wouldn't have your cheerleaders, you wouldn't have your student section. So most of these guys have played in a preseason tournament where there might not be, you know, that many fans there, or there might not be, you know, a band. But the games have been really good. And as you're flipping around channels, you know, Gonzaga, Kansas, pretty good game yesterday. Gonzaga obviously better than most. The games, I think, in college basketball, first off, it's a relief for the players to get to play. Every player I talk to is like, oh, man. You know, it's so great to be playing. And every coach is like, it's so good for these kids that, you know, have a little bit of normalcy instead of, you know, being in the little bubble that they create at college. But the games themselves, I think, have been really, really good. And the lack of fans, hasn't affected it much.
Last thing for you, Dan. I always like to pick the brain of a college basketball person. As you watch the game evolve, right, I think back to when you were playing and, you know, what we know Coach Knight was so great at teaching, just breaking down defenses, you know, reading the defense, curling off the screen, flaring off the screen. And if it took 40 seconds, it took 40 seconds, you were looking for that great shot. And now it's, you know, it's so much different. And everybody wants to be out of the lane. If somebody posts up, it's not for very long. Everybody can shoot the three, it seems like. What do you like this style of play? Is, you know, for a while it seemed like the defenses were almost too good and we had too many games in the 50s. But as you're saying, I think as the game evolves, we're now getting a little bit back to a better flow. But what do you think about the style of play now as opposed to a generation ago?
I think that when I was first at ESPN, it was the most unimaginative offenses, and I didn't really realize it because, you know, when you're coaching your own team and you're getting ready, you don't see a broader picture. It was literally like, all right, we're going to run some nonsensical set, back it up, get it to our player at the end of the shot clock, go one-on-one with either a ball screen or not a ball screen. You know, I'm being literal.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts, and I was very vocal about it, and a lot of coaches did not like me because I'm like, these dudes are making $3 million a year, and they can't think beyond their nose. They can't come up with anything better than that. I think it's better now, and in fact, you know, going back to tonight's game, you know, last night or yesterday afternoon, both games, West Virginia has two guys that just pound you on the glass, and they'll throw it inside. I talked about the Basie kid and the Williams kid from Western Kentucky. When the game got close, they pounded it inside. Tom Izzo has won a ton of games. So has Roy Williams. So has Kansas. By saying, yeah, we're going to be a modern team. They say that. Yeah, we're going to shoot threes. Yeah, we're going to run. But our core is we're going to get the ball on the block. And there's a reason that they score a bunch. There's a reason that, you know what, they're always winning games and they can get into the 70s and 80s because they combine the two. Shooting threes is great. Don't get me wrong. But there are so many dead possessions because guys take three dribbles, try to break someone's ankles. The whole crowd goes, ooh, you know, all that kind of crap. And next thing you know, he shoots air ball. I like the flow better. I particularly have liked this tournament and the way these teams have played because it is up and down. But at the end of the day, man, when things need to be stabilized, they're not afraid to go to the post four or five times in a row. And that's kind of what basketball was kind of designed to be. But you're right. Everybody shoots three. And, you know, guys right now, I've always said this about my son. My son literally practiced a third of what I did. he practiced a third. I swear to God, like I was every day. But he could handle a basketball 1,000 times better than anybody that I played with or coached at Indiana, just because that's what you worked on. That's what you did as a kid, handle the ball, get your dribble moves, get all that stuff. So it's evolved, but I think today's game, Western Kentucky and West Virginia, is pretty fascinating for guys that like basketball, maybe played a different way.
We're going to be keeping an eye on that. Dan, well, I'll give you a quick zinger as we let you go here. I'll take you down memory lane. My timeline, I'm not exactly sure when you became a head coach, but I played at Vanderbilt under Eddie Fogler. We had some good teams. We played Indiana a couple times. Our one trip to Assembly Hall was on ESPN. Bobby Knight benches Calbert Chaney, Eric Anderson, and Damon Bailey for the first half. I have no idea why, but we were very encouraged.
Bet Dan does.
So we're hanging in there. Matt Nover hits a buzzer beater at the end of the first half to put them up by 4. We feel great. Bobby Knight puts the 3 starters back in there. This is a team that ended up in the Final Four in 1992, and we ended up losing by 40 on ESPN. So we didn't have much of a push in the second half there.
Give us the goods, Dan. What happened?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I was there 16 years. So many dudes got benched. So many different reasons. I'm thinking about – I remember that game. I remember Matt. I remember going in at halftime, and the truth is we beat a lot of teams with that crew. I do remember this. Coach Knight kicked – we had a kid named Alan Henderson, Damon Bailey, and a kid named Pat Graham, who was Mr. Basketball. We didn't lose the game, but we came close, and they didn't play well. And he kicked them off the team while he was buck naked in the coach's locker room with things swinging around, howling himself off. And Damon Bailey just started laughing. And I'm like, Bailey, man, you can't laugh when coach is kicking you off the damn team. He's like, Coach, I just got kicked off the team, and the guy was naked. He goes, I just got kicked off the basketball team by a naked coach. I'll be honest with you. Calbert never missed class. Calbert never, and Bailey never missed. So they must have. We must have just been made. Sometimes we made up things to be mad about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to keep everybody on. We're mad at you today, Calbert. Well, you only had 25 the other night, and you got straight A's. Yeah, I don't care. We're still mad at you.
You're getting complacent.
He was a heck of a player. We almost never lost in Memorial Gym back then. But one team that beat us the year before, we went to the NCAA tournament the year before in Indiana. We beat Shaq at our place. We beat Jamal Mashburn. But Calbert Chaney, we must have had 30 and beat us at Memorial Gym the year before. Well, what an incredible player. I was thinking of him when we were talking about curling off the screen or flaring off the screen, catching, shooting. He's just unbelievably efficient.
I do know why we beat you there, because I'll tell you this. Before we went there to play you guys with Cal and those guys, Knight went insane, because in 1987, the year we won national championship, I think it was, or maybe it was 86, I can't remember, but Alford, we went in there and y'all beat us.
Yeah.
And Knight wanted to play, and this is what I loved about Coach Knight. Like Coach K hasn't played a real road game outside of the ACC Big Ten tournament like since 1984. Like, they just played neutral site. Knight was like, all right, they beat us in that building. Sam Newton's my friend. We're going back there. And Knight would put, and people say, well, fear is a bad way to coach. My ass. Fear was a good way to coach. Because you knew if you lost twice in the same building, man, you may not get out of Nashville. You may have to hitchhike home, which happened to one player. You may have to do something. But there are a lot of games we were going to lose, but that wasn't going to be one of them because of straight out fear of, we called him the man. And he would walk in on practice, and I'd look at Alford when we were playing. I'd go, hey, Steve, the man's here. Let's go. Let's get going. And everybody, hey, the man. Hey, let's not piss off the man today. Let's go. So,
oh, man, that's great.
Fear's the best motivator in Indiana, baby.
Dan, good stuff as always. Yeah. Hey, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule in South Dakota. We'll be watching. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road. By the way, the Colts, are they going to make it a clean sweep? What happens on Sunday?
They're not going to win like they won last time. I imagine the special teams. I think that punter from FedEx is probably better now than he was when he showed up, kind of unannounced. I think it'll be a good game. Colts always play people down the street. I think it'll be a damn good game. And, you know, I hope the Colts win, and you hope the Titans win because it makes your shows more interesting. You know, people bitch when you lose, but, damn, there's nothing like the ratings when your team's in the playoffs, right? So that's kind of, you know. So I think it'll be a really good – I think it'll come down to the last possession. Either your team will have to get a stop or our team will have to get a stop to win the game.
Good stuff as always. Really appreciate the visit, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That is Dan Dockich, 107.5, the Fan in Indy, and right now out in South Dakota calling some college basketball games, and that is the place where Western Kentucky upended Memphis yesterday, and a really good win for them. I saw Austin Peay came away with a one-point victory. Belmont cruised in their victory, and sorry, Elijah, it may be another long season for MTSU. It's one game, but MTSU hoops not off to a good start.
It was bad. That was
not good.
They flubbed it. I'll say that. They definitely that was a rough start to the year, and they're having a tough time with ETSU right now too.
Yeah, no Steve Forbes at ETSU, as we know, but yeah, and we saw, and TSU obviously was supposed to play yesterday, and their game was canceled. All right, we'll come back. More coming, and we'll continue the discussion on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Dan Dockich. We'll have Terry McCormick at 11 o'clock. Titans are going to be practicing a little bit later today. Mike Vrabel will talk at around 1:30 this afternoon, so maybe we'll have that for you. We've got pick six in the final hour. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, hopefully give you some winners to kick off the hour, so should have a loaded final hour of the program. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Good stuff from Dan Dockich. Always good to talk to him. He's a lot of fun. If you can't have fun with Dan, then you don't have a pulse.
He is a character. We could go on all day. Can you imagine the Bobby Knight stories that he has?
Yeah. I mean, you could. He's just like, man, he suspended and benched so many kids. I couldn't remember all the times. I mean, 16 years of stories. Yeah, he'd have to sit down and probably have somebody have to jog his memory because there's so many probably stories for 16 years with Bobby Knight.
Well, for those that don't know, Dan was a good solid player for Indiana, and you know what his claim to fame is. Does it pop into your head when I said for him as a player what he's known for?
Who, Dan Dockich?
Yeah.
Nope, nothing's popping in my head, so I don't remember.
He guarded and is credited, and I don't know if the word shutdown applies, but he guarded Michael Jordan in Michael Jordan's last college game in the NCAA tournament in 1984. And Indiana eliminated a great North Carolina team, and he was the guy on the assignment. Indiana played nothing but man-to-man.
What did Jordan have in that game?
I'd have to look. You know, I'm sure he didn't have zero, but and it was, you know, a team effort. I'm sure Dan would tell you. But sometime when we get him on, we'll have to ask him about that.
Would Dan say that, or would he say, no, I was a hell of a defender? I think Dan would probably take credit. And I would, too, if I were him.
Yeah, I'd take full credit, for sure.
Are you kidding?
But then he became an assistant right after, mm-hmm. just kind of like Eddie Fogler did. After he played for Dean Smith, he jumped on the staff and, you know, spent a lot of years as an assistant and then became a head coach. Later, but you know, he said Bobby Knight in a nutshell, right? Insanity behind the scenes, some mm-hmm. unbelievable discipline, you know, put the fear in his team as the motivator, and for better or worse, you know, some people today feel like it was worth it, probably others didn't. We had a transfer at Vanderbilt named Chris Lawson that it wasn't for him. He left and he became a great player for Vanderbilt on the SEC championship team in 1993. And Vanderbilt wouldn't have won it without him. But, you know, Indiana won a ton of basketball games, as we know, right? So, they were good for so many years, needless to say. But you see sort of the two sides of the coin.
I looked it up. Dan held Michael Jordan to 13 points in that game in 26 minutes, and Michael Jordan fouled out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember Dan Dockage as a player. I don't.
You know, honestly, he was. I don't think he was a great player, like in terms of score or, you know, big points or anything like that. He was your typical Bobby Knight player.
Yeah, he had 4 points in that game, and he too fouled out. Dan did, but Dan made it 33 minutes compared to MJ's 26.
Used his fouls wisely, I guess.
No, I can say that because back in those days, I mean, you paid attention. One, you paid attention to Indiana because Indiana was a blue blood back then. Okay?
Oh, yeah. They were on TV. They were one of the few teams that would be on TV a lot.
And a kid growing up in Lexington, Kentucky, you didn't miss Kentucky and Indiana ever. Like, that was the game. And now you know the time reference because that's felt like a long, 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 long time ago, and that's because it was. And Indiana is just, you know, it's just one of those programs that just has not been the same. You know, we talk about that with Tennessee football. We talk about, you know, will Nebraska football ever return to that? Will Miami, Florida ever return? I mean, there's just certain programs for a certain window, which is a long window. It can't be brief, right? Like, just think about what I just named. I mean, Miami, Florida's run was decades. You know, Nebraska's run was decades. Indiana basketball was decades. I mean, these were huge windows. This wasn't a flash in the pan. But
well, they won three national titles in a span of 11 years, 76, the undefeated team, 81 and 87. And then they were in the Final Four in 92. And he still coached there. They started to drop off a little. Is that fair to say, Darren? There was still a perennial NCAA team.
I kind of felt like after 2000 is when
they stopped being like a national title contender for Knight's last 5 to 6, 7 years, somewhere in there. They started having some early exits from the tournament, and then, of course, everything caught up with them.
I think they've been wandering around in the college basketball abyss for the last two decades. It's kind of the way I view them.
Yep.
Which remember, is kind of close
to
Tennessee
surprise
football.
Run. They had the one surprise run under Mike Davis?
It was his first year.
Yeah. And they got to the final, right? That was a little bit of a surprise. And then since then, I don't think they've been to the Final Four, and they've only been Sweet 16 real contender a handful of times.
It's pretty sad because, like I said, back then, you paid attention to Indiana basketball. I absolutely, and that, you know, that's not me taking a shot at Dan. We love having him on. I don't remember him. And I paid attention to Indiana basketball back then. I don't remember him. I would not have, maybe I would have gotten that on a multiple choice test, depending on the answers you would have presented to me, Willie. Maybe it would have guessed right, but yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that game. I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a great Indiana team because it was between the Isaiah Thomas championship team of 81 and then the Steve Alford 87 championship team. So Alford might have been on that team, but it wasn't, you know, obviously they were good enough to beat North Carolina in the NCAA tournament, but I don't think it was a great Indiana team.
Can you think of, let's try to put together, and Elijah, jump in there, and I know you're much younger, but it doesn't mean that you can't remember history. Who else would fit into that category in let's say college football and in this case college basketball? Just powerhouse programs that had a run for decades
that just aren't quite the same.
Monumental, right? Like they were the cream of the crop. They were up there at the top with whoever else was good during those windows. And when you think about it, the last, you know, let's just say last couple, 10 plus, last decade plus, how about we go on that window, just has not been the same. It's just they're not even close.
I feel like Nebraska in football is the first one that comes to mind for me. And then Tennessee,
no
too.
No question.
Yeah, Tennessee, too, to a degree. I mean, in the early 2000s, like when I was like really young, obviously watching Tennessee football, they were great every year. And they had that run in the 90s, and they had some really good teams before that. And obviously they've been awful since. But Nebraska, those are the two that come to mind instantly.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of something that I haven't named. Is there anybody else that we could throw into Miami, Florida, Nebraska football, those two football teams, Tennessee, add them on the list. Is there any college basketball program? I mean, I guess UCLA, but UCLA had their runs with Ben Hallen. How long ago was that?
Yeah, the drop-off's not as stark.
It's not,
there,
yeah, it's not think. As – UCLA has not been out of sight, out of mind program.
Yeah, it's not the same as it was, for sure. But
I guess outside of Indiana is – I can't think of one. A program that had a long, long run and hasn't been significant in that in the big picture in a long time. I can't think of anybody.
It's hard to.
I think you might have to throw Georgetown in
there. Ooh, okay.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It hasn't been the same.
That's probably the best one that we'll be able to come up with. Georgetown.
Can we take away the two? I mean, they had that Final Four run when Hibbert was the center and JT3 was coaching, but that was like a one-off basically because they were never any good after that either.
Right. They kind of had a couple of seasons with John Thompson's son, but overall they weren't a big threat. You're right. They did have kind of the one magical season. But
yeah, well, I mean, Indiana's had a couple of pretty good seasons in there. It's just not the
Georgetown's
same.
Not like the same.
You start marking them down every year as top 10, top 15.
Yeah, that's a shame because I miss when Georgetown was, you know, so good in basketball. I miss when Indiana was so good in basketball. And I, you know, you just wonder, do those I don't think those programs will ever return to that. I don't think Miami, Florida is ever going to return to that because I'm not sure you can without doing what they did. Is that fair to say?
Well,
if you're trying to do it on the up and up,
This year they're pretty good. It's interesting you say because the guy that they got played for some of those teams, right?
Manny Diaz. I mean, Miami, Florida's not a threat in the college football.
Well,
landscape.
Not this year, but he hasn't been there very long. So we'll see what he can do. It does seem like it's not as realistic as it was once upon a time, but there's certainly players down there. There's certainly enough players that you could draw from to have a good run.
Yeah, but when's the last time Miami, Florida's been a threat?
Well, to their credit, in the 80s, they had the amazing run where they were as good as anybody for a long period of time. Then they got almost the death penalty. Got it pretty close to it, right? So they had to break it completely down. But then they did build it back up under Butch Davis and Larry Coker, and they had another really great run in the early 2000s. But now that's, you know, so it's almost like they had two waves of great. So could there be a third wave someday? Maybe. And that makes me think of another one that's going in this direction is Florida State.
I was getting ready to go there. But Norvell's there. Maybe he can turn it around. But you're right. Since Jimbo has left and at the end of Jimbo, I mean, Florida State's been going the wrong. Now, this window's been pretty small, right? I mean, this has not been decades of bad Florida State football. So we'll see. It's the verdict is still out on Florida State football. They don't exactly fit into this criteria yet. If they keep just kind of fumbling around.
That arrow's moving that way, though.
Yeah. No, it is. But it's got to – the window's got to be longer for them to fit into this category. There's a couple of things to pass along. One, let's start with the SEC. Pete Thamel just tweeted out in the last 60 seconds or so, sources, the SEC is expected to make a scheduling adjustment for next week, which would allow Alabama and LSU which would allow the Alabama-LSU game to be played. So what does that mean, making a scheduling adjustment? We know Tennessee, right, their game against Vanderbilt, not happening. So I guess what are they going to do? What's the scheduling adjustment? Because, remember, the adjustment right now was to have games played the same day as the SEC championship game, which would not allow Alabama to make up any games, right? Would not allow probably Florida to make up any games. So I wonder what that is.
Good
question. What are we thinking?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know how that would work. I mean, you don't play two football games in a week.
Nope. Although, I wouldn't have thought changing your opponent in midweek would ever happen in football either, but it has. So I don't believe that'll be the case. I say that to, you know, tongue in cheek. I don't think that's going to happen, but I don't know because you can't. When's the SEC championship game right now? Is slated for what, the 19th?
I think so.
I don't think you can go.
You can't go any further back. You can't go
the
day.
Well, you can't go a week later, right? I mean, you're not going to play the day after Christmas, are you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't know.
I mean, anything's possible, I guess. I mean, it's logistically possible if you want to make the effort to do it. But
true. One other piece of news that we can kind of roll into the second hour with, and this, I think, happened since we've been off the air on Wednesday afternoon. Colts defensive tackle, their big guy, their big acquisition in the offseason on defense, DeForest Buckner, he's out for this game.
Right.
Which is a huge break.
And you heard
for
Dan
the Titans.
Dackage talk about that. And we, that news came down the afternoon that we got off the air, mm-hmm. Darren, and at that time it wasn't really reported whether he was just traced, right, and just as a precaution was having to sit out. Sometimes you can get back, right? We've seen it. Players are held out of practice or designated, and then they are cleared by the time the game starts. But now we know that he is not coming back. He is tested positive, so he is out of this game. So maybe that levels the playing field a little bit. And also, after we last were on the air on Wednesday, the Titans got, I think, some decent news on their injury report on Wednesday, and we'll talk to Terry McCormick about this at 11, because now we'll wait and see today if it's continued to improve. But we know, regardless, the Titans' offensive line is banged up, but this is a little bit of an equalizer, kind of like the Ravens last week. They had a banged-up defensive line while the Titans had a banged-up offensive line.
Yeah.
But this ends up being an intriguing matchup here as far as can the Titans run it well against the Colts.
So we will start the second hour by talking with Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. Don't forget, you just made the list at high noon. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports to start the fourth and final hour along with Pick 6, and we'll try to see maybe if we can squeeze in what the head coach has to say, Mike Vrabel, before we get out of here as well. You don't want to miss what DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, has to offer to celebrate all of Sunday's action. DraftKings is ensuring all new customers are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet. They cover you risk-free on your Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. On top of that, DraftKings Sportsbook has special odds boost and promotions every day of the week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code 1025GAME when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook is ensuring your Sunday bets up to $100. Hope you heard that right. New customers can bet this Sunday risk-free up to $100 when you use the code 1025GAME. During the sign-up process, for a limited time, only DraftKings Sportsbook. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older. You must be physically located in Tennessee. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.